WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are not in Baltimore anymore. We're Greenmount Station. We're in Hampstead. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play. I brought my lottery cup. I've got Betty Boop tickets to give away. We got the OTB over here, the restaurant, the bar, North Carroll High School, Manchester Valley. And, you know, I don't know a lot of people in Hampstead. My dear friend JR, who's my tower engineer, lives in Manchester. I've had friends that live in Manchester. I have ex-girlfriends that live in Hampstead. And I have friends that have been with me for a long, long time. You probably hear Carl Delmont from time to time over on the FM sports station or even at 100.7. Our friends at the Bay and Colleen hear him often. You know, so I'm coming up here to Greenmount Station bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. And I said, I got Carl Delmont, man. I haven't seen Delmont in a long time. Wonder what's going on with him, how he's doing. And I hear you from time to time because I'm a 100.7 listener, and mm-hmm. I know they've had little changes over there. A little bit too much Metallica, Brillhart. Turn it down over there. And I hear you all the time. And you walked in, and I'm like, what happened with the beard and you know? And you looked at me, you're like, what's going on with the hair, man? Yep. It's how you been? It's
pretty
been a
good,
long
pretty
time,
good.
Man.
It has been. Yeah, I got a flu over Christmas and slept for like 3 days straight, didn't eat, didn't shave, woke up, and much like you know, Rip Van Winkle, saw someone new in the mirror and like, hey, I kind of like this new skinny hirsute guy, so I kept the beard.
Well, you know, you were sponsoring my Raven shows here mm-hmm. for years and years where we started in the bar,
yep.
we wound up in the restaurant, then we wound up in this side room yep. here, and then the OTB came and all that. I haven't seen you in 2 years, and I guess if I would have said to you the last time we were here together, it's probably 4 or 5 years ago we were together here, that I'll see you when the plague's over. You know, like, when the plague is over, you'll have a beard, I'll have long hair, I'll be talking politics and business and education and leadership and life. Life will change, but I guess for you, when I think of the pandemic and I think of the PPP money and I think of low interest rates, I was talking to Chris here at Greenmount Station. It's been a hell of a thing for every business mm-hmm. to change and morph. But your industry, much like my friends at Wise Markets, where everybody was at the supermarket, it was sort of a hypercharged industry for your industry, where a lot of other industries were starving.
Yeah, and you know, the sad irony now is that it's sort of flipped. I mean, you know, Greenmount, we're late in the day, and they still have a pretty good crowd here. I've been to a couple of restaurants the past few weeks, you know, late lunches, like 1, 1:30.
People are coming out.
And they're busy. So restaurants are starting
even
to
with see. Inflation. Yeah. Everybody comes and says, how much are the chicken wings? Mm-hmm. Well, they want to eat out. People want to be out.
But the flip side is now that we have, you know, inflation, maybe it's not directly a result of, you know, all the supply side issues. It probably is a big part of it, but the Fed's in a tough place right now. That and the fact that the Fed stops buying mortgage-backed securities, which was keeping a lid on rates for so long, that the war, all the other things going on.
Explain that to me a little better. Like right now, I'm coming in. What's a four? Where am I right now?
Oh no, rates now are like about five, like high fours, about five on a 30-year fix, and that could change all the time.
That lifted quickly. I mean, it feels like a minute and a half ago, 2.5, 3%, whatever. Right? I mean, unheard of, and the numbers you probably never thought you'd see in your lifetime. Right?
Well, now when you think about it, I've said this all the time. I mean, 6% fix is a great 30-year fixed rate, historically. You go back to 1981, we were like 16.6.
My first mortgage was 9.75.
So that was probably
1986.
I was going to say late 80s, all right.
86, 87, yeah.
So when you look at, but if you look at even like, say, the early 2000s with the first big housing boom, right, rates were still higher than they are today. So it's just one of those things where convenient memory, because we were all-time lows, we popped up. But most economists and most people, you know, people follow the real estate industry, no one was thinking rates would be where they are right now. We thought by the end of December we'd see this, but there was a lot of other things that happened they didn't think about. But overall, you know, we'll have to see what happens. There's some positives. I mean, look, if you know, with Fed raising rates, if you're a senior and you weren't relied on savings, this is good news. If you think about buying a house, it's going to add some money to the cost of the house, but it's probably actually going to put a little bit of a lid on this rapid appreciation as well, because that could only last so far. So I mean, I always
people buying their house in February and selling it for $100,000 more in March,
yeah.
right? Literally, that can't last. That's hyperinflation.
Yeah, I mean, it's hyper appreciation. It's unsustainable. It's got to, at some point, it's got to level off. And then it's like, you know, musical chairs. At some point, the music stops and you look around and you hope there's enough chairs for you. But I think, you know, again, I always try to find, you know, the glass is half full theory. So I think when you look at it this way, but, you know, it has slowed the refinance market. But I think it's a good time now. I mean, we're actually seeing, you know, loan officers that have expressed interest in joining us couldn't because they're so busy now saying, oh, wow, business has slowed down a little bit. Let's talk. So, you know, maybe we'll use this for an expansion.
Would you call normalizing to some degree?
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good term.
But it's not like a spigot on and off, right? I mean, it's not off right now. People are still buying houses.
Oh, yeah. People are still buying houses. Competition is still there. Multiple offers are still there. It's just, you know.
Not multiple offers, 50 grand over ask.
There's still some of those.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. We just had a guy the other day. He was ready to go, and the seller said, I think we're going to accept your offer. And then someone came in cash offer, like $30,000 more. So it still happens.
Every day. Carl Delmont's here. Tell everybody the MLS, IML, like all that stuff. Because I want to talk some soccer. I want to talk some Green Mount and some Hampstead. And in your industry, when it got super, super busy, right, at that point where you're at two and three quarters, everybody wanted you on the phone at that point, right? Like, everybody who's ever been in, I was trying to sell my house. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking to refinance, but my God, if we were ever going to dip back in and we were in a home we wanted to be in, it's sort of a dream scenario if you got one of those gold plans on a 15 or a 30, right? Like that, yeah. You're in a car when inflation's going crazy. This is really good for the people who did get it done, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you were fortunate enough to sell a house and perhaps you already had a rental property you could move into, whatever. But the catch 22 was, if you sold at the high, you're now entering the market. You went from the most popular girl in high school to 40 guys when I was going to prom, right? When you're selling your house.
Well, you bought a place at 500 grand that may have been 4.25 before. Now you're in 500. You can't sell it for 500 now, is what you're saying, or no?
No. You're still going to be able to sell the house. But when you, say a year ago, when you sold a house for 500, you had 40 people begging you to sell to them.
Okay.
But then once you sold, you became one of the 40 people going to the next person.
And had to pay 5.25 for the five.
Yeah, I mean, and if you bought a smaller house, you're probably still looking at, you know, like if you lived in a 3,000 square foot house and you sold it because you were downsizing and you bought a 1,500 square foot house, your payment's probably going to be close to the same because the property value went up. So it's just one of the things you have to look at. But if you're moving, a lot of people during a pandemic, you know, people worked in New York City and other areas were like, hey, man, I'm a remote worker now. I don't need to live in this expensive area. So people who maybe sold in this market and then moved south where homes are cheaper and you could buy a bigger house for maybe, you know, 150, 200,000 less, they made out. People who bought from builders probably made out.
People that moved to Asheville, North Carolina, and did, you know, there was a lot of that going on. And amidst all of that, and, you know, I do want to promote the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to be giving some Betty Boop tickets away, as I've been doing. Thank you, Roz. Roz came through. She works for the lottery. Mm-hmm. This is not all I have. I have a few more for everybody in Hampstead. But all that being said about the pandemic and people moving and jobs and all that, communities like your community, this is your community here, where before we even began the show, you saw one of the girls you've coached soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, I hit you earlier this week as a pinch hitter. Hey, you want to come up and hang out because I'm in your neighborhood. But there are these communities, I call them bedroom communities, but I would call them community communities, where people think, I'm going to move there, put my kids through school there, be there. They don't go anywhere. And this is one of those places, right? I mean, when I think of Carroll County, I think of Hampstead, I think of a stability here that probably COVID kind of shook things. But the same people are in here eating ribs and crab cakes today that were here 5 years ago when we were doing Raven shows.
Yeah, a lot of people started moving up here late 1999, early 2000 during the housing boom. It's just a great place to raise a family. It's you know, when people look at where you want to live for housing, you're looking at, you know, commute, no particular order. Good commute to your work, which may be moot now. But you're also looking for, you know, safety, good schools. And we have all that. It's a great area. Like you said, I mean, I walk in here and I've got several girls I used to coach at, you know, in college or out of college now. Some are working here part-time, some full-time.
How far do you live from here?
About 12 minutes.
Okay, so it's not a mile. You wouldn't walk here.
No.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about, like, so I moved to the county, right? And I've talked at length about this. We went for a beautiful walk the other night, my wife and I, in the woods, quite frankly, and just up and down. But the distance between stuff, I've lived downtown, man. Like, everything's a walk. Everything's right here. Even just going down and parking my car for opening day, something I haven't done in 19 years,
yeah.
Is, you know, is drive into the city and say, where am I putting the car? Not that I'm freaked out, but I parked up at Lexington Market. But there is this change to coming out and seeing trees and squirrels and stuff that I haven't had any association to in 20 years. Seeing deer, seeing fox, seeing raccoons. Raccoons got into my trash last night. little trash
Welcome
pandas.
To the county. Yeah, it's, I'll tell you, it's, you know, we moved out here and I remember my in-laws and others. Man, this is
well,
really
you're a Jersey
warm.
Guy though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Grew up in Jersey. And, you know, I live, you know, we used to cut high school and go surfing. I live next to the ocean. It was great. But
he always tells me the time he met Springsteen.
Oh,
he
got
his wallet, right?
My friend found his wallet. It was my neighbor, and he looked into a thing called Springsteen. He came over to the house, and his mom made dinner for him. We got to hang out. Springsteen signed my River album, a couple posters, and then I...
Well, he was already Bruce Springsteen at that time.
Oh, yeah. River was out. This
and
was,
you found his wallet.
My good best friend did, yeah.
Where? In a stone pony?
We were no, at the beach. We cut work to go surfing, and the waves sucked, and I wanted to make money because I was about to go to college. And,
what beach is this? At Asbury?
This was Long Branch.
Okay, all right.
And which we normally didn't surf there, but
now what's your hometown?
Red Bank.
Red Bank. Oh, like you're a Red Bank rocker.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess.
Well, the Red Bank Rockers were a big deal.
Yeah.
Not an Asbury Juke, but you know.
I've been to Asbury too. That's not far. Clemens used to have a bar in my town called the Big Man Club, and that year that my friend found a wallet.
Have you had a beer at the Big Man Club?
No. So here's a crazy story. I had skipped a grade, so I was too young. We had two of the Italian exchange students. One staying with us, one staying the next door, because they were old enough. Springsteen's like, I can't take you, you're too young. So the two Italian exchange didn't speak a lick of English, got to hang out with Springsteen all night at the Big Man Club, and they just, after the dinner and
ditched.
All the other stuff. Yeah, because I wasn't old enough. But at the time...
You did a fake ID, Carl.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea.
It would have been a good idea. This is the 80s, man. You had to make things happen. Late 70s, right?
I was barely 17 and probably looked 12, so... That would have been hard.
I think there was a heavy metal song about that, Barely 17. Carl Delmont here for Fremont Mortgage, a longtime sponsor, friend. You probably hear him all over the dial. But more than that, I'm at Greenmount Station. We're up here in Hempstead, courtesy of our friends at Goodwill Industries as well as the Maryland Lottery. And I just wanted to reach out and like get local. It's been a long plague. I mean, you've got the beard, I've got the hair, but you still own a soccer team, run a soccer team. I saw Ed Hale a few times. I actually ran into him in Costas. I was in there having a crab cake 6 months ago. It was the end of summer, and I was at his house for a fireworks event with him and Michelle and 100 other people last summer as well. The league and soccer, and it's come to me more this year. Friends of mine, when Kenny Cooper was in town, when they had their reunion night.
Their 40th.
And I live in the county now, so you know the games are at Towson. The blast has changed. You're in another market up in Harrisburg. Tell me about the league a little bit, players in the league, and your involvement. Because I remember you called me so excited you were getting involved in indoor soccer.
Yeah, you know, I was joked that, you know, guys at a certain age have a midlife crisis. Most of them go out and buy a red Corvette convertible, but somehow or another I bought a soccer team.
You know what I've been buying? Can I show you?
Yeah.
All right, this is going to get a little weird.
All right.
So... Well, go ahead, tell me your soccer story.
Back?
No, well, but you say people buy weird things.
Yeah, they, you know, guys go through midlife crisis, and most of them buy cars, convertible cars, whatever.
I'm 53
else.
Right now. I hope I'm midlife. Okay,
yeah,
so that'd be
there.
About 106 if I were.
Yeah.
So and this is great for, I'm going to tell Chris this, because Chris has like a Beatles autograph thing here. I was talking about his 59 Oriole post, beautiful 59 Oriole post, really high definition for that era. And I sold all of my autograph stuff. I just, like, on auctions, just didn't want it anymore. I have Springsteen, I had Billy Joel and David, like all these people I'd met, autographs, Robert Plant, David Bowie, you know, like all this stuff. Interestingly enough, it was the Beastie Boys ticket that fetched the most money, which is crazy, but I was afraid of it getting wrecked. I didn't really want it anymore. It was in a box. It had been in a box for 20 years, most of it. A couple of things I kept. I kept all my ticket stubs and stuff, but I've taken the money and converted it into little $30 and $40 items, and I had a Led Zeppelin belt buckle in 1979 on the In Through the Outdoor album. And it was a holographic belt buckle. And I've had it for 40 years. And 3 years ago, my wife knew I took a shine to it and I wanted to get a belt buckle, a belt for it. And she bought me a Rush belt buckle that was a copycat. It wasn't the real thing. And I went on the internet like 4 months ago and I started buying these things. Today, this is what I wore for you today. I hope my zipper's up. My zipper's not up. I wore ELO today.
Right.
I wore the ELO. That's a 1976 ELO spaceship. So this is my midlife crisis, is buying $40 belt buckles from 1978 and being an idiot. So your midlife crisis was?
And buying an indoor soccer team. So it's probably one of the hardest jobs I've ever had. I've been blessed. Kevin Healy, who used to run the Blast for 20 years, came over, and he's just crushing it for us.
And his son.
And his son, Pat, came over, and he's our head coach, and he's doing a great job. You know, this year was a little tough. You know, coming out of COVID, we didn't play last year, night of the Blast, and only 7 teams played last year.
Now, was that obvious pretty early on you weren't going to play? I mean, or did you try to hang in the way some of these other leagues did?
You know, we were a little bit rudderless at the time as owners, and I think some owners wanted to play and some didn't. What happened, Baltimore, if I remember correctly, I think they weren't allowed to play. So that set
because
the ripple
of the
effect.
City or the county, maybe masks, okay.
I think it was either the county or the state because they play at Towson University. So when they pulled out then, Utica, who was in our division, had the same issue. So it was us, Utica, Rochester, and then the Heat. So the first three.
Well, when you think about testing and bringing people together for anything a year and a half ago, right? We're talking about trying to do this in October, November. Mm-hmm. This is when Lamar's getting COVID every week. The Ravens are playing Wednesday afternoon football. Just to put our minds around colleges, you know, how difficult it would have been for a small independent soccer league.
Would people
to
show?
Oh, that was the other thing. Yeah, is there revenue? Right.
So 7 teams played. San Diego won. Some teams would reach out and say, hey, would you loan us players? So something like we loaned several players out. And then
who wanted to play, right?
Yeah, still wanted to play. And it was fair to the players. So, you know, a few of our guys played. And then the then commissioner came to me and said, hey, we've had this executive committee that was looking at bringing in new leadership, new commissioners. And it was like 3 months and there were no interviews, blah, blah, blah. It was actually almost a year ago today. Yeah, it was Palm Sunday. It was a year ago today.
Okay.
We were supposed to be at an owner's meeting, and my mom has lupus. She was going to come visit me. I wouldn't get back from the owner's meeting until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I couldn't have got tested, rapid tested. So I'm like, I'm not risking my mom's health.
Right.
So Kevin went to the meeting. Anyway, the commissioner called me and said, hey, I know you can't make it, but I just appointed you to head of the new executive search committee. You can find us a commissioner. Here's 12 resumes. You got 2 weeks. I'm like, wait a minute, those guys had like 3 months. He goes, you got 2 weeks. So I started calling all the people. Ed was on a committee with me at Hale, and Lane, who's the owner in Tacoma. And we put together a group, bring it in, and we end up bringing in a triumvirate. So it was Keith Tozier, who's played in the league, coach in the league. Shep Messing, who played in Pelé. He's now the voice of the Red Bulls. And then, of course, the...
Was Shep Messing a part of trying to bring indoor soccer up to Long Island? Was he part of that Arrows team?
Yeah. He was part
years
of the Arrows
ago?
Team,
okay, yeah. Sure. Man, see, I remember, I know more about soccer. I don't even Googling anything here in Del Monte.
That's good.
You know?
I'm impressed.
Go ahead. So Messing, Tozier, and who?
And the inimitable JP Del Camera, who's the voice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Voice of the Olympics, voice of... both national teams. I mean, really, really great guy. And
I'd love to have him on the show, talk some soccer with him. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll see if I can hook you up. But anyway, they came in. They've got some new ideas and everything else. And it's been a first year, but you know, learning curve and some other stuff. But I think they're doing a pretty good job. Just, you know, what I tell people is if even 30% of the things that they're hoping they can do come through, fans, players, owners, we're all going to be very, very ecstatic. So I think we're moving things in the right direction, and it's a great sport. Soccer is just going crazy right now. I mean, you look at just you know, Premier League, you look at...
Well, MLS values. I started seeing teams worth $750 million. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. That's, I mean, I remember it in its infancy. Mm-hmm. You got time for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Carl Del Monte here. I want to take a quick break. I just want to give some love to Chris and everybody up here at Greenmount Station. The people at Carroll County have been great to us for so, so long. Been 6 months since we brought the Crab Cake Tour up here. We have some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets we're going to be giving away, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. I had John Baylog on last week. My wife and I are spending this weekend loading stuff together for Goodwill because we still have more stuff from the move. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why the hell did we move this out to the county? Well, we did a whole truckload, including the radio station, back in December. So big thanks to our friends at Goodwill. Carl Del Monte is here, longtime sponsor, Fremont Mortgage. If you're in the market for a mortgage, this is the man that's been doing it longer and better than anybody. We're in his hometown up here in Hampstead in Carroll County. We're going to be having... one of my favorite crab cakes. People ask me all the time, and they're like, Hampstead? I'm going to Hampstead for a crab cake? I'm like, well, if you're going to Greenmount Station, pretty good. Outdoor seating, the bar. I think Michelle might stop by and Ashley talk a little North Carroll and some Manchester Valley. Chris is here. We're going to do some music later as well. But I want to have a real soccer conversation with you about World Cup, Qatar, Baltimore, the Baltimore-Washington bid. Mm-hmm. Carl Del Monte, Mr. Soccer up here in Carroll County, joining us here, and also owner of the Harrisburg Heat. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570. Back for more from Hampstead and Greenmount Station right after this.